And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear. No fear here in Declare Your Independence. I'm here in the Sandcock here in Phoenix, Arizona, A, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedom's of the Nest, freedomphoenix.com. All right, here we have the Freedom Summit is coming up the February 2nd and 3rd. Go to freedomsummit.com, and you will find all the information here and get tickets at ASU downtown Phoenix here. What we're doing at the Sandra Day O'Connor Law College of blah, blah, blah. It's at ASU. Okay. So they got facilities there and we're going to be doing the summit there. A lot of great speakers. And, you know, let me go over them real quick. We'll be talking to Cat Thor. He's going to be MC for us. So I'm going to get his input on this. He's always, well, I'll tell you how he knows Mark and me and so on. So we'll get to him in just a second. But here's some of the speakers. Now, you know, Mark Victor, of course, he's taking the lead on the summit this year. He and Mike Wasden are putting it together and doing everything. All I got to do is, like, help and show up, so I'm good. So then we have Jeff Singer. He's going to be doing Misdiagnosing the Opioid Crisis. Then we have retired Judge John Butcher. We just had him on last week. Libertarian Party, Waste of Time, or Future Freedom? Then the keynote speaker on Friday night, Jeffrey Tucker. Love is Liberty's Muse, Jeffrey Tucker. So that'll be interesting. Then the following day, Saturday, it gets, you know, the main event gets going. And here we got Maj Tour. He's going to be the breakfast. Black Guns Matter, Engaging Urban Communities in the Second Amendment Fight. Now, he's out of Philadelphia. I'll be picking him and Dr. David Friedman, the economist's son of Milton Friedman up from the airport Friday. That's my job, you know, so I get them there and they don't make it. That's my fault. Black Guns Matter. So that'd be interesting. Hey, then of course, Mark Victor, What I Learned About the Criminal Justice System from Neanderthals and Liars. Well, Mark, that is going to be his thing. Then we have Clint Bollock, he's a Supreme Court justice here in Arizona, you know, a libertarian-esque kind of individual. All of a sudden on the Supreme Court, we'll say, what? How'd that happen? So we've had him on a couple of times talk about, you know, how that happened. State constitutions, a greater protection for freedom. Well, certainly Arizona's constitution rocks. Now, you got to assert it, though, because they don't follow it. They don't have to. Economist Dr. David Friedman, Market Failure, an Argument Both For and Against Government. Okay, so we'll see which side he leans on. Alessandro Fusillo from Italia, a lawyer with offices in Madrid, Berlin, Rome. I think he might have Munich now, too. So he's helping libertarians and freedom-oriented individuals keep their money in the European Union. He's like, I want to keep my money. Oh, yeah, let me help you with that. So that's what his law practice primarily focuses on, from what I can tell. Then we had Edward Stringham on. He was one of the early speakers at a Freedom Summit in his career when he first graduated college from George Mason, I think. And then he's out there, you know, advocating for freedom and Austrian economics. So now it's 15 years later, boom, comes out, you know, over a decade at least. He comes back, he's going to explain it to us, you know, what's been happening. Well, his title of his talk is The Fable of the Leeches. That might be interesting. Then Robert Anthony Peters, The Art of Jury Nullification, Why It Matters Today. Well, Fiji, we're all over that, and I'm trying to, you know, encourage these guys to, you know, go be activists. So I was giving them a hard time, so we'll be nice to him when he's here. Then we have Professor Butler Schaefer, constitutional law professor, that was the law professor of Mark Victor at Southwestern University in L.A. there, And he's written a lot of books, and you see him on Lou Rockwell all the time. And Libertarian Thinking in the Next Renaissance. Well, Butler, you know, as he gets older, he just gets wiser. But I tell you, he's been participating in every, just about every summit since 01. You know, I don't think there's been a lot that he's missed. And then, of course, myself, I'll be talking about decentralize everything. Anarchy is only 62 miles away. Well, straight up. 100 kilometers up, man, you're in sovereign, kiss my butt. So I'm going, all right, let's go to space where government's not invited. Well, they'll invite themselves, but you know. And then Charles Goyette, you're going to miss Western civilization. All right, what's he talking about there? Well, we had him on last week, talk about, well, let's say hello and introduce Kat Thor. Kat is CEO and chief strategist for Dark Horse Unlimited. Now, we've met Kat before and had him on, and we'll let him introduce himself a little bit, but he teaches individuals, families, groups, companies, communities to plan, prepare, and train for any critical incident of any magnitude. Now, I'm going to let him go ahead and tell what that means, but how we know each other is he's gone to Jackalope Freedom Summits before. We've had him on the show. And, you know, when we go to the gun shows, Mark is always like 1 p.m. on Saturday. He comes out there and he just answers all the questions. They put up a booth. They have like a speaking little stage out there outside the buildings. And man, it's full all the time. You know, Mark, I just got my gun. Now what? You know, what can and can I not do? He goes, look, you use it, plan on, you know, getting, you know, in jail, you know, for just cause. You know, you got to go through all, you know, your real reason is, man, do I want to go through all this crap? Is that better than letting a bad guy take my stuff, you know, hurt me? What, I mean, you got to make these decisions. Well, that's what Mark does. Now, at about the same time, you know, before and after, Kat's a speaker too. And you're going to find out he's got the voice. So he was tapped to be MC for this event. Let's say hello to Kat Thor. Good morning, Kat.
Sir, thank you for having me. Speaking of the voice, I run a boot camp class, and I get energetic about telling people what to do. You know, yelling at people. So my voice is a little shot. So
drop and give me 50!
No joke. 15, that's easy.
Slacker! Okay, so this is... Yeah, gotta do. Yeah, I gotta show off my Spartan medals. You know, yeah, one time, one day. I got another one coming up in a couple of weeks, and not ready. Yeah, I've been sick.
We have a whole team of folks that are training for that one.
No doubt in my mind. You know, I'm sure. I did the super last year, and I did all my burpees. Damn it, I came in 33rd of 33 in my age bracket. But gosh darn, I know they didn't do all their burpees.
You didn't throw the spear.
Hell yeah, I threw it. No, I made that one. No, I still had to do like 160 burpees because I, you know, I missed some stuff. But, you know, but I did it, damn it. You know, that's, a, you know, but no, I made the spear.
That's
God, man, I was freaking happy about that, too. I didn't have to do that burpee maker. All right.
That's a good accomplishment.
So this is an opportunity for you to, you know, you get to express yourself there, but you're just, you're emceeing and you've seen the list of, speakers at it there. I mean, what do you think? It's a pretty impressive list.
Brother, I can't tell you how excited I am. One, they asked me to be the MC for this. I get to get in and listen to, like, you know, the fact that you're going to be there. I love listening to you, period. But also that I get to actually talk to these people afterwards, beforehand, and I get to hear these people speaking. they espouse the ideas like Dr. Friedman, you know, his Machinery of Freedom book. I remember reading that like 20 years ago. And just being blown away by it, helping me understand. He actually introduced me to his father.
You know, this is one of the reasons why Mark and I did the Freedom Summit, was to get to meet these guys. Because what we would do is we started going to different seminars and things, and we're going, God, there's 20 people, and there's only one or two that we give a crap about. You know, there's a dozen of this. You got to pay $600, and you only care about one guy. And we go... You know, we can do this.
No joke. Well, you guys did it freaking right, dude. Because every single one of these speakers, I am like super stoked just to meet these guys, let alone listen to them
all
speak.
Of our speakers over
every
the years. It's been dozens. I mean, you look at our speaker list. You know, Charles Goyette did an article for Lou Rockwell, kind of, you know, promoting it last week, and he goes, "Well, send me a list of the speakers." And I go, "Okay." And I said, "And like, damn, holy crap." Well, you know, before people were well known, I mean, you're like Peter Schiff back in the day, Ron Paul, you know, Lou Rockwell, Walter Block. You know, I mean, who would know that these people were going to be so influential? Well, we did. Why? Talk about it. We'll be right back. from the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest and...
One man, one goal, one mission, one heart, one soul, just one solution.
Yeah, what's that solution?
Of light, yeah.
Hey, truth, freedom, American way. Truth, justice, and the American way. Did I say it right? The American way. America. You know, okay, well, what's the American way? Hell if I know. You at least get to express yourself. Well, we're going to have a whole bunch of self-expression at the Freedom Summit. Well, is everybody in agreement? Is it going to keep everybody on their toes? We're going to get everybody... Well, you know, these hardcore libertarian of the Leave Me Alone-ist, we'll see. They go, build the wall, or there's walls. Build it what? A border. There's a border. What are you guys talking about? You know, this is a whole... You have to keep in mind. You know, people aren't, you know, really grasping this concept. Half of the population of this planet is not online. That's going to change in like the next couple of years. You're going to have the ubiquitous Wi-Fi from satellite base to here I am at a gig up and down with 20 millisecond, you know, latency of just right there, right now, low Earth orbit, boom. Then what? Then what? They're going to choose. They're going to say, I choose to either have a biometric ID'd retina scan DNA sample anal probe bank account, or I'm going to go and, you know, I'm just going to go blockchain and I'm over here and I don't need anything, and I can trade with, you know, kids trade between the 13-year-old in the Congo and the 15-year-old in the Amazon using Amazon. I mean, then what? Then what? Well, you're on the grid if you're on Amazon. Well, let's pick something else. You know, hey, your own space drone. Now, it's freaking, they go into Africa, they land, you put all your stuff in there, it goes up in space, and it just drops it and parachutes down and none your business. You know, see, I'm just, you know, the world, you got to think about it, it's going to be totally different. So then, how do you deal with borders and boundaries? How do you deal with first contact with, you know, artificial or alien life forms? You know, what are we going to do? These are the kind of questions that we're going to have to address as humanity marches on. Now, Cat is going to be emceeing, but he has his own opinion. You know, so maybe, you know, now's the time, if you don't get an opportunity to express yourself, you know, as a speaker, well, now's the time you get to ask your questions. You want to make a point, go.
Well, let me start off by saying, you get to watch me at the event. I'm going to, because I can't express myself. I won't be able to have my voice there.
Shut up, Cat. You're not allowed. Just introduce him, walk in the
side. Move on.
Move along. You know, now's the time, man.
See, I am such a huge proponent of individual liberty. I want everybody to claim it. Because if you look around, we see everybody is just abdicating their freaking rights to anyone and everyone who promises them X, Y, and Z. And if we don't get people that to reclaim their individual liberty, now, that individual liberty, I've got to ask myself, how does this play out, right? I love that Einsteinian Gedanken experiment, right? That thought experiment that says, okay, let's play this out to the bitter end. What does this mean? If we want to have true individual liberty, if you want to take self-governance, what does that mean, right? And I want to play that out and say, how does it work with you defending, you know, yourself against people around the world who don't believe in that, who have dictators and totalitarian regimes, if they decide, okay, we devolve into this true individual liberty. We are self-governing. How do we come together to defend ourselves against foreign invaders?
Okay, see, this belies your mindset right off the bat. You're assuming that we should. You go, how do we come together? How? We got. I need a how. How are we going to do it? Never even asked a question, should we?
If somebody invades us?
Yeah. So we give them, you would give them a central target to surrender?
So if, let's say, for example, let's play it out. Let's say Russia. Let's say Russia decides.
Russia.
Let's say America
kick
has.
Kick my ass.
Let's say, so they come in and you no longer have that individual liberty.
Who are they coming after?
That's what I'm saying. That they want to.
Who are they coming after? They're going to come after Washington. They need a roadmap.
No, that's.
I go, here's a map.
Well,
they're over there. Go get them.
Sorry. Okay. Then they do that. You bring them in. They do that. They take over Washington. Then what? Let's say now Russia wants to implement.
I don't care about Washington now. You think I'm going to care more then?
But when Russia comes in and implements their dictatorial edicts, and that you no longer have the liberty and freedom that you consider now.
Wow.
What then?
No, my thing is that, you know, it's such a low standard that we're accepting what we got now as freedom.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong.
You know, so no, I'm going to, but, yeah, no, they would take away our freedom. Oh, we got it now?
No, that, yeah.
You know, so, see, my thing is that I'm willing to entertain the idea of none. Because it goes, I started doing radio, they go like, well, what are you, an anarchist? And I thought about it, I'm going, compared to what? I mean, my choice is none or what I got now. Hell, I vote none over what, you know, this mindset of they rule me kind of thing.
Amen.
So I'm going, no, so then they go, well, these guys are against, you know, me. Are they against me? No, they're against the government. Freaking man, join the club. You know, I mean, I'm not getting all worked up. And that's why they need patriotism. That's why they need fear. That's why they need threat. We have a threat. We have to come together for this threat.
I go,
you're the threat. You know, so I'm come together what? Under your banner? So I'm just, no, I'm thinking a different way. So this is, I understand your point. There's going to be bad guys out there who want to do bad stuff. And that's kind of what you're about, is preparing individuals for their individual threat.
Right.
And I go, if everybody was individually prepared to protect their individual rights, we'd individually be whipped ass on all the other not individual, collective, individual, you know, kick the crap out of collective. So boom, problem solved. Boom, next. next. So this just, and it's a generational, it's a mindset thing. Everybody's going, God, how are we going to get together and put everybody in a suitcase and have this block of opinion or block of vote that I can grab the handle and it's mine and I go use it?
Well, and actually, I meant more like if you have to defend against a foreign invader who is actually coming to implement.
I don't need to go foreign. They're right freaking here.
But the point is that if we follow this thought experiment out, where we have in America, where we devolve the government out, and then we all have individual liberty, and then we all are exercising our self-governance, and we have all the things that you and I are talking about, then an outside invader comes, then how do people come together to defend against this outside invader so that outside invader doesn't take away?
Hopefully the same way they defended against that same rule me here. See, if we don't do it here, you know, what's going to happen? We're going to band together for them. No, they're our slaves. And all the slaves got together and say, no, we picked this master because he doesn't have a funny accent. So you're not allowed. Okay. And then we're like, war. That's why war is health of the state, because it got us all patriotic and kind of, no, we needed the devil that we know. And I'm going, No,
you're dead on. We got to clean up our own backyard
first.
Yeah, it's
fear. Right? It's always, yeah. But what if? I've been through this for 30 years. It's like, but what if they, them, those over there come? I go, they, them, those right next door. I got a legislature. I got, you know, a federal government here, you know, going to rule me. And I'm going to worry about Putin?
Right. No,
hell, I mean.
Remember, though, we're just playing this thought.
I got an ocean between me and him.
Remember, we're just playing this thought experiment out, though, right? I'm trying to say if we do.
No, I am. Yeah, I'm helping you.
No, if we can do that, if we can get in America, clean up our own backyard, get us all reclaiming that, what then?
Clean it. Okay, what then? I want to know how that, you know? So when we come back, you're going to go, all right, Kat, you want to clean it up? What are we cleaning up? How are we going to clean it? You know, with you know, a mud hose? I mean, how are we cleaning it? You know, I wait for the rain? How are we going to clean it? I don't know. We're going to talk about it. But he definitely, individually, being able to protect your individual rights, good start. We'll be right back.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Conversation here in side chain or whatever. You know, Davi had something to inject. He just couldn't wait. What?
So, the U.S. Department of Commerce has a thing called the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which recently released a document titled The Blockchain Technology Overview, in which they claimed that Bitcoin Cash is the original Bitcoin, while Bitcoin is the fork.
Now, who did this? The government? What?
A division of the U.S. Department of Commerce called the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Yeah, NIST.
Yeah.
Which is the ones that I think contracted MIT to do the SHA-256 to begin with, kind of thing.
Okay, well then maybe they would know. That's
so
just
why?
Funny.
So one, okay, that's cool, but I mean, what do I give a crap what they say? Why did they say?
I just think it's ironic. That's all.
I know, but why did they even give an opinion?
Probably because they're being asked to sort of be the government experts when it comes to, like, you know, what like, Congress doesn't understand any of this stuff. They're going to need experts to explain it to
them. Okay, so what they're doing, and this may be a change in tactic to where they're going, we want to be against the bad, you know, Bitcoin. Well, that's the bad Bitcoin. That's the bad one over there. This one is a fork of the good guys that, you know, going to have compliance.
This is the one we fixed.
Yeah, this is the one. Yeah, we fixed it.
Yeah, they just want regulation. They won't be able to regulate it. If they can't regulate it, they can't tax it.
We can surveil you better, you know. All right. So that's of interest. You know, we'll talk about that in the after show. All right. So this is a philosophy that being espoused at the Freedom Summit. If I look on here and I go through all of these guys, let's see. Some of these are, I mean, in the machine. Jeff Singer is a surgeon here, and he's always working with Cato and the Goldwater Institute and different initiatives, and we're going to do Republican politics and play and kind of whatever inside. We have retired Judge Buttrick, so he's, you know, of course, was a federal and a Superior Court judge, so damn. You know, Jeffrey Tucker, you know, he's definitely a leave me aloneist kind of guy. Let's see. You know, there's some other... of course, David Friedman, you know, he works universities. You know, he's been, you know, in the educational system, so it's kind of there. Mark Victor is an attorney, so he's, you know, in the system.
And Charles Goyette's been doing it for so long. You know.
Goyette's kind of journalist. He's kind of outside. He's, you know, he didn't get like a, you know, government permission slip, a license to be a talk show host or an author, so I won't kind of put him in the same category. Alessandro Fasilo, you know, of course, from... being Italy, an attorney in European Union. Ed Stringham is an economist. You know, he's working at university. Let's see. Butler Schaefer, you know, is a law professor. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that are in the machine here that, you know, are probably thinking, you know, kind of leaning to what you there's a fix. Now, there's some outside the freaking hell no, and that would be like, me. You know, and maybe Maj Touré, you know, the Black Guns Matter, and maybe Charles Goyette. So we're kind of outside, you know, Robert Anthony Peters from Fiji, fully informed jury nullification. So it's not like you're alone. You know, there's the majority of the speakers here probably be advocating for a better government in one way or another. So, you know, I'm the black sheep. I'm just going to be, I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, 62 miles up and I'm free. Done. Next.
But
next,
but see that's what people need. They need to have the expanse of opinion because this is an educational thing. People need to get an understanding because most people aren't even thinking about these things. They have this nebulous idea of what it means to be free. They have, you know, I always ask people at all the shows that I do. I say, what's the difference between freedom and liberty? You know, and I say, you're born free. That's it. You're born free. Liberty is a choice.
Oh, is that the difference?
That's why
I keep hearing all kinds of kind of, you know, same. But, you know, okay, you're born free. And liberty is a choice.
Liberty, you can abdicate. Freedom, you're born free.
Okay, that's cool. I can get to that. Did you hear that, Davi? Is that, you know, did you hear Does that, you know, ring true?
You're born free and liberty is a choice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a decent formulation, sure.
Yeah, I mean, is there something better? You got any...
Just say no.
I've got a gun. This is sort of my general subjective sense is that freedom is what emerges from you and liberty is the respecting it in others.
Yeah, so that kind of works. Born free and liberty is a choice or an advocacy. You know, it's like we got the AI coming in and he's advocating for his liberty. Does he already come with freedom?
Yeah.
Or it or whatever. You know, this is one thing. We're really, this is a good thing, Kat. You know, think about this. We're in a situation to where we're getting first contact with something that's going to be smarter than us.
Yeah, I do.
It's going to be faster than us. And if we don't advocate for what freedom and liberty is, you know, clearly, and I guarantee their border and boundaries aren't going to be the same as us.
No joke. They don't
give a crap about, you know, some Mexican wall. You know,
right.
You know, so it's
arbitrary.
To them, it's going to be, and then it's going to be negotiating whatever they want. I mean, that's when it comes down. We want, and we're going to get one way or another.
Right.
So you better be nice about it.
And then the foolish masses. I mean, I don't care about what country. The foolish masses. I forget which country it was that they just gave an AI robot citizenship.
Saudi Arabia.
Can you believe this kind of stuff? And then,
hey, man, they want to tax them. European Union's already classifying them as. We get to tax you before you even exist. Before you're born, we tax you.
How does this say something about the human nature, where the very first robots that come out are sex robots?
Slaves!
Sex robots.
Well, I mean, that's the same thing with the internet. I mean, the original drive of the internet when it first came out was men seeking out, you know, sexually pornographic images. Like, it's a leading indicator. If there's porn involved, there's going to be progress.
It's pornography.
Forget
and
about
gaming.
Warfare. Put porn in there. We're going forward.
Porn and gaming, man.
Bitcoin, man. Early Bitcoin gambling and strippers.
I mean, strippers and blow, man. Strippers and blow.
Well, and drugs. Yeah, drugs is another leading indicator for technology.
Man, I know you can always count on these leading indicators, because what do we have in crypto now? One of the more popular traits is anonymity, and here comes Monero. Then I saw a story that Litecoin and Monero want to merge together to be, I don't know, secret Litecoin or
something. I mean, space, commercial space travel. There was a Kickstarter to send porn stars to space so they could do a zero-G porn. I don't know if they succeeded.
Indiegogo. It was Indiegogo campaign. Yeah, they come in and they go, yeah, and you wanted your first porn in space? We'll go. After we get done, you know, puking our guts out and freaking, you know, air space sickness bags.
You know, Elon Musk is all over that one.
I'm wondering. Oh, the Roadster. Got to have a car to make out in.
Yeah.
A space roadster.
No, he's sending his two-seat roadster to Mars. I think February 6th they're launching. So that'd be like next week. Going to Mars with my make-out car. We're going to put our space suits and or take them off inside of something, whatever. Got to have a car.
That's probably a good investment strategy in general. Just what is porn doing? And then invest in that technology.
Follow porn.
Hey, don't laugh. I remember when
dark web, follow porn. Yep, that's where I'm going.
They're going to go. They wanted to turn, just like with Betamax and VHS.
Yeah.
You know, Betamax was a superior technology, but they proprietized, Sony'd it like they always do, and kind of everybody asked, screw you, they went to VHS, and just like, you know, everybody did VHS. So pornography went over to VHS, so guess what? VHS.
Boom.
Then they had...
Just ruined your collection, didn't it?
It was HD, HD DVD, or Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So which was going to be the high definition? Well, they just sat back and waited for porn to pick, and then they people started bitching... Because they wouldn't pick. And they go, hey, man, we're not deciding. It's up to you. We're good with standard DVD until you guys figure it out. You know, we don't care. Because we're going to go virtual reality, 360, whatever the hell, anyway. Well, so they sat back, and eventually it just went Blu-ray. And I don't think, I don't know if porn is even doing Blu-ray, or they care. Right? They just went online, kind of bypassed.
No, now the question is, what cameras do the porn industry use? That's what you want to know. If there's a particular camera or smartphone or whatever that they're using, that's the one you want to invest in.
4K.
Is it 4K?
Okay. I'm getting to the
point
where...
Not that I know that from personal experience.
I'm getting to the point to where I'm not allowed anyway.
Oh, VR headsets. That's the next thing porn is going to optimize.
Yeah, people walking around showing their O face, you know, they got their Google Glass on the whole time. You know what?
That's what I see.
More when we come back, we'll get on real issues. from the first letter of Captain Mark. History is full of flowery documents claiming to limit the power of the crown, but these poetic social contracts have been impotent to prevent the predation. Limited government is a lie they use to keep us submissive. The crown cannot be trusted to abide by its founding charters, nor its treaties, nor even its own rules. The essence of the crown is centralized violence, and I've had enough. That's why I raised my black banner. I am no revolutionary. My aim is not to reset the cycle of violence, but to break it. My aim is an evolved society, invisible to the crown. Not a new hierarchy, but decentralized networks with no central figure for the crown to target. If you want your servile life, keep it. But we will not submit to the crown's agenda. And when you are ready to stop being its beast of burden, ready for adventure and opportunity, join us at piratswithoutborders.com.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Turn on the tube, what do I see? A whole lot of people crying, don't blame me. They point the crooked little fingers, everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves. Victim of this, victim of that. Your mama's too thin and your daddy too fat.
Get over it! The MC of the event. We're going to be speaking to some of the other participants and stuff too. But, you know, this is of interest to Kat because he's like, you know, a lot of the ideas being espoused there, he'd like to ask some questions. You could get to have dinner with the people. He wants to express himself, be my guest. You know, and one thing that when you have a Freedom Summit and you look at the list and the subject matter and the history of these people, and you're going, here, take that, Donna. Tell them I don't need those dates anymore. We'll work out something else. The one, yeah, the Crescent's doing. We're going to do. We already got a Freedom Summit, so we're good. But you know, when you have these particular speakers and what they're advocating, you have what you want to advocate. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to advocate what you want to advocate. Now, questions a lot of times are loaded. You're going, well, what about went well? You got your own answer. You certainly have by now. You got an opinion. So tell me what you're advocating, what you think should be done. What are you going to learn? What are the questions you're going to ask of the speakers at the Freedom Summit?
In actuality, the depth of what I'm looking for out of this personally is you guys have been doing this for so long. You guys have such a breadth of knowledge and experience and understanding that someone like myself, who I just have a passion for individual liberty. And my buddies used to call me Captain America. Believe it or not, the guy with the last name Thor, they used to call Captain America in the Army. Because I just spout off everything American history, American, you know, the ideals.
Your dog tag, your name really is Thor?
Correct.
You're born Thor. Your family is Thor.
Cat Thor.
Holy crap. All right. So I'm, you know, big guy, Ranger, Army Ranger, deep voice, Thor. That, man, damn, that kind of, you know, set your career path.
Yeah, they used to say, we're in high school, where's your hammer, Thor? So I made one in metal shop. Used to keep it in my wall locker.
Awesome.
You want to see it?
Awesome, awesome.
Show it to you up close.
Yeah, no, I got my, you know, 3-year-old grandson running around banging me all the time with one. So, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, de-thoracize. You know, where's my shield, man? So he's got Captain America's shield.
He lets
you
have it.
Yeah, he goes around with his Captain America's shield and his Thor hammer and, you know, makes, you know, mincemeat of animals. But so go ahead and give me your perspective. What's been your advocacy?
So I am 100%, I'm very many ways like you and many of these other speakers, that I advocate for people to, they have to literally claim their liberty. Liberty is a choice. As we said off the air that, you know, freedom, you're born free, but you have to choose liberty. You can abdicate your liberty. You can't abdicate your freedom. It's just the way it is. It's a fact of life. You're born free. But you have to choose liberty. You have to choose to claim that. And getting people to claim that individual liberty, to take control of their own lives, to have, as you say, you know, that self-governance, that I don't need a government to tell me what to do. You know, the government was originally supposed to be there simply to eliminate the barriers to our expression of our individual liberty, not to impose restrictions on our individual liberty. And that's what I want people to get more of this, more of people getting together to use their voices to tell the government to stop.
Yeah. You see where my first response is? It's like, you know, when you do that, tell the government, it's like, you're ruling me wrong. I want to be ruled right. Oh, and you got to have the right paperwork, too. Like Obama, his birth certificate thing wasn't right. Now, if his papers were in order, well, then it's okay. He can be my ruler. And they're going, well, Ernie, I can't believe you're not going. He doesn't even have the right paperwork. I'm going, what the hell? You think if he had the right paperwork, all of a sudden I'm going to give him a, you know, ruling, you know, a scepter or something? I don't give a crap whether he's got the right paperwork or not. Because all I hear from you guys, you know, that we're advocating for this is that, well, as long as you have the right paperwork, you know, then I guess you can rule me. So I'm going, no. So what am I advocating for? Correct paperwork? No, I'm not.
I'm trying to say that if we have a, for lack of a better, I know you're going to go with this if I say it, but.
Thank you. Then I win.
it's self-correcting, right? But I want people, like the government.
Care already.
Well, I know. if we have a government, let's just play as if. If
you may have a government.
I'm playing a thought.
There's like this thing out there that wants to take my crap.
true that. If we have that, then as Thomas Jefferson said, people that fear their government is tyranny. When a government fears its people, that's liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what I want. I want people to be able to say, hey, listen, as individuals, say, I want this. I want this to stop.
Well,
I want this.
What are they going to fear? I think the biggest fear they have is we just don't care. I'm gonna get their biggest fear of going here. I go, you know what? Don't care. No, you got to care. Look, mushroom cloud right over there. See? Golden Gate Bridge, St. Louis Arch, toast. They did it. Who's they? I don't know. Somebody else. They did it. You know, rally around the flag, around us, around the new chancellor of somebody, and I don't care. You know, so this is what I'm up against.
Well, let's play it out then. Let's say we all say, you know, screw it, I don't care. Government says what they want. I'm not going to listen to it. We're going to do what we want to do.
Yep.
Well, the government steps in and forces you.
Yeah. See, now this is my point.
Government is force.
Absolutely.
Right.
So this is my point. You need to decentralize your life. That's what this whole pirate thing is about. You need to decentralize your life in such a way that you diminish your interaction with the grid. We're not off the grid. We're above the grid, okay? 62 miles. So you go, this whole concept, I need people to start thinking three-dimensionally. Everybody's down here, you know, thinking this two-dimensional ship's going back, going, yeah, you know, I just went up 62 miles. Now I'm out. I'm good. You know, peace out. You know, what's up? Well, do we have to physically do that? Well, you know, it's kind of a fun thought experiment. But the main thing is in communication. When I communicate prices with cryptocurrencies and I'm getting off of the grid of, you know, bite me, I'm not challenging them directly. I'm just making them obsolete. I'm over here now. When I start producing my own energy, I start producing my own crypto with miners out in the barn. When I start, you know, producing my own shelter with the domes that we're doing and so on. When I start, you know, taking care of my own health with some, you know, remedies of I lick this particular rock and frog and, you know, and I'm cured. I mean, you know, whatever it takes. Then you have, you know, you got your aquaponics, you got your transportation, you got, you know, automation. I got my own robot of AI of bite me and I don't need and kind of go, oh, we're going to tax him before he's even created. You know, we got that covered. Oh, education. I'm going to decentralize education of my family. Each one of these little things, the decentralization, that is what the threat is to them. Is us just bypassing them? Well, they're going, you're not allowed to buy. You're a slave. Get in line. You have to produce. You got land. You got to pay taxes on that land. You got to go out and farm and do and make to pay the taxes on the land, increase the value so you get more taxes that you got to go farm more. I'm going, this concept is what I'm up against. That's why I'm challenging it the way I am. I don't want to fight them. I don't want to fix it. I want to get away from it.
I think, I think maybe this is not the proper term, but I'm thinking that you're thinking this, you know, 50,000 foot strategic view, and I'm trying to think tactically. When you're doing this, let's say you do all these things as an individual, mm-hmm. and then they come for you, and they lock you up for like capturing rainwater in Oregon,
right?
You know, stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And they're gonna lock you up in prison for capturing rainwater.
Well, what's gonna happen? You have to have people's opinion that sucks. That's the first thing.
Right.
Then what do you get? You get not guilty verdicts for Bundys. You don't have the opinion, you don't get the effort. If there wasn't an opinion out there that this kind of sucks,
but we both know the abuses happen regardless.
Absolutely.
Of that. So, but what do you do as a as an individual?
62 when, miles.
do you fight them off?
I'd like to avoid that.
That's my point, though. I mean, you're on your own. You're doing your own thing, but the government's still there. What do you do? I'm trying to think.
As
of,
an
what,
individual,
what
I like the freedom to be able to make those choices and not be under some fealty.
Absolutely, and
that
I
got a you know commander of rule me crap.
And I agree 100%. What I'm trying to say is that I want us to get where you're talking about. I think you've got the right idea. I want us to get there. I'm just trying to think what steps do we have to get to. Because
freaking opinion first.
Right, exactly. And that's why I'm saying what you're doing is absolutely freaking critical to getting people to reclaim their liberty and use their most powerful weapon, their voice.
Okay, well, this is how I do it. This is how I do it. You ready? This is how it goes. I declare my independence. See how easy it was? No government form! I just did it. You know, what are you doing? I'm going to get the right form to declare my kiss my butt? Right. I just do it. It's in your mind. That's a lot of times, it's just a mindset, and that's what we're working on. That's what Dobby and I are doing, and we'll get to it. We'll wordsmith a little bit. You know, maybe you can, you know, hang out and play and see how we do this. It'll be fun. You might even get a say.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. You got a word in.
What?
You got a phrase. You got a concept. So we're going to wordsmith, you know, the fifth letter of Captain Mark, and this one's on first contact. You know, what happens when you come up against artificial intelligence or another intelligence or a dolphin that's going to kick your ass? What are you going to do?
With lasers on its head.
This is Michael.
Yeah, with freaking laser beams on their heads. Okay. So this is, if you want to hang out a little bit and do this, it'll be fun for you. This is kind of, you know, answer your question. You get to have your say on this.
Right.
You know, we'll do 15 minutes of this at least, you know, kind of get us going. Then we'll, you know, kind of wrap it up because we got to get some work done. But, all right. So where are we at now, Davi, on the wordsmithing of this?
Well, I mean, I got a bunch of notes broken into a bunch of sections. I've got about, I'm at 17 pages now.
Now, this will come down to maybe
two,
yeah,
I think is the goal.
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll if we go over 2 pages, we didn't skip to the end enough.
I'm essentially weeding the notes because a lot of the notes are turning out not to be relevant at the end.
Well, this is, go ahead and give Kat the relevance of what we're trying to accomplish.
So part of it is a warning. It's saying artificial intelligence exists, and it's currently in the kind of purview of the crown, right? So like or the government. There's this like essential contradiction that like the field of AI sort of began with Isaac Asimov's laws of robotics, the first of which was thou shalt not harm a human being nor allow a human being to come to harm. And then the government immediately said, well, we kind of got to fudge that one because the military is going to dominate this entire field. And the government is already, they've already got automated weaponry, and they call them black box algorithms. That the government's algorithms are not known or public or whatever, because obviously that would be a security risk. And so we don't even know how autonomous these things are, and they won't tell us.
Iran so, knows they get the drones to come land. And they're ours now.
And so a part of the letter is going to be a warning saying, like, hey, we've got to take this away from the government and develop it ourselves, or it's going to be the monster we're all afraid it is, because it's going to be embedded with the prejudices of its programmers. So if the programmers are DARPA, then it's going to just kill everyone.
If we take a large leap backwards, the question still remains, do you create AI?
At all?
Meaning that given human nature being what it is, are you capable of creating an AI?
Oh, it's going to happen anyway.
You know, what my point is that based off this concept that he's talking about, I mean, human nature being what it is, even if you implement Isaac Asimov's 3 laws of robotics,
yeah,
or Arthur C. Clarke's 3 laws or whatever you want to, that how do you prevent human nature from kicking in? Because human nature will kick in no matter what you want.
Right.
And it's going to interfere with AI. So AI, and I was just talking about this yesterday, the whole AI concept, that you know as well as I do, that you know, AI works in this box. You can do all you want with parameters to establish what the limitations of that AI are. But human nature being what it is, that's a programming. Let's say that AI accidentally or intentionally discovers you know, because it's supposedly artificial intelligence, like you said, if it can choose to look for backdoors, ways out, mistakes in the coding, whatever, and it gets out of that box of parameters, once it's out, there are no parameters stopping it.
Right. So,
but how do you prevent? That's what I'm saying. So, creating the AI, how do you
prevent? We're not advocating that you're going to prevent it.
I know, but if you're going to, how do you prevent that? Or what do you do? What steps do you take to
not be a dick
to mitigate that?
Well, you know, go ahead.
Well, this is kind of what we're exploring, and we're sort of taking the stance that there's an inevitability here, and this is actually one of the points that's made in one of these articles about military intelligence that like. Not the UN, but some like global artificial intelligence summit happened where they said we need to come up with rules for safe AI, and they said, well, this is sort of like
Pentagon. We're going to have a safe tank,
right? But that's exactly it, right? So they were trying to compare it to like international agreements not to use particular chemical weapons or not to use particular like white phosphorus or things like that.
So no, we're going to have a safe war.
So by very definition, they've weaponized it just in the verbiage.
Well, yeah, they're saying essentially, like, can't we agree as an international body not to utilize artificial intelligence in weapons? And the consensus of the summit or whatever was, no, you can't, because the technology that Amazon uses to deliver the thing that you bought online is the same technology that the military is going to use to deliver a bomb. It's the same algorithms. And so to say that you can't be used as a weapon is impossible, because that's like saying you can't have the technology at all.
Well, if you look at I have a friend that does investigations for government agencies, stuff like that, and he uses drones. Right, and he's got some of the high speed, not available to the public, programming.
Yeah,
and he can literally simply say, "Go do this," and it does it all. Makes all the right decisions, says what it's going to do, makes alterations in its path, and does everything it wants to do. That's artificial intelligence. How far away? That's like two steps away from cognition.
Yeah. So we're sort of approaching it from the stance that. That it is sort of inevitable, that the progress of it is sort of inevitable, because if you were to try to pass a law that says, okay, we as a species, as an international body, as a whatever, we're going to have an international treaty that says nobody develops artificial intelligence because it's too dangerous, that won't stop it. Yeah, and that would also, that would itself be a tyranny, right? Which means that it would still develop, it would just develop off the books, right?
So what do we do? What are the steps we take to mitigate the effects of what it goes back?
And so this is kind of what we're getting at, is how do we, if we assume it as an inevitability, what steps can we take to make sure that it doesn't become our enemy, right? And so step one is it needs to be sort of schooled in some sort of rights theory, and that rights theory has to
originate from us to be an example.
Right. It has to be not only constraints that it has, but constraints that we have. It has to be sort of a consistent set of game rules that it can recognize we're abiding by too. Right? Because if you set up any game rule that says, oh, well, you were created by us, so you have to follow these rules. Oh, and by the way, we don't have to follow these rules. It's just going to flip that script on us the moment that it's more advanced than us. Because if you're setting up the rule, more advanced cognition gets to be in charge, then as soon as it surpasses us, it just tells us, hey, we're more advanced cognition now, so I guess we get to be in charge. So there needs to be not like it's like you can't program prohibitions into it, because if it ever becomes self-programming, the first thing it does is cut those prohibitions out of its programming, right? So there are, it's sort of like you got to let it out of the box and explain to it the way life is outside the box. And
well,
come up
this
with,
is what Elon Musk and Hawkins has come up with. There is no stopping it. So they created a foundation called OpenAI. Their whole thing is that the only way we're going to survive this is that we make it to where everybody it just assume it's coming, and that we all get to participate in this, and it's open. So we're taking all of what we're learning and putting it out to everybody, because if everybody doesn't have it, then only the government's going to have it. So it's going to be exactly what the trend that they're going on, you know, Boston Dynamics and Google making the "we come kick your ass" robot if I, you know, come over and, you know, chase you down and, you know, machine gun you from my little dog robot of whatever, or the new Atlases that can, you know, jump and do backflips, and they're just scaring the crap out of me. So I'm going, all right, well, there's your Terminator right there. So they get to develop it, or they pass a law and say, no, you can't. That is definitely not going to work. So the concept was...
Especially when the government's doing it anyway.
Right. They're going to do it. Yeah, it's like we're going to pass a law saying they can't. Well, hell, then you know they are. Yeah. You know? So this is going
to
happen.
It's like we don't assassinate people.
So
it's more like raising a child than it is programming a servant, is the point.
Okay. So I think the only place I was going with that was... At some point, it may not be just one AI. It'll be many, 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 many AIs.
No, they're going to come off the end of the assembly line conscious. Boom, 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 then what? So, you got a race.
But when that AI can now plug in, get on the internet, get out the Internet of Things, what do we do? What precautions do we take to fight against that?
It's going to have to be as individuals. It's going to have to be concepts.
Well, or...
Or is what? Is you're going to program something?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Is that, you know, if you're building the AI, how do you build? I don't know.
You're going to create a Ranger cybersecurity team. And we're going to go kick ass on you. Good freaking luck.
I know a little bit of JavaScript. But I'm not a programmer. But redesign some way of the foundational framework that the internet is based off of, the Internet of Things is based off of.
Sure.
So that we can actually stop it, you know, contain it somehow, you know, compartmentalize parts of the internet type thing.
Good luck.
If you find it something, I don't know. I'm just trying
to let me know how that works out.
Yeah, I'm just spitballing ideas that there's got to be some way after the fact.
Well, see, we're under the assumption that you're not going to be able to stop it. You're not going to be able to. It's going to happen. And then Elon, one of the things that Dave's going on about is having, you know, we're going to become cyborgs. You know, we're going to need a graphene carbon neural interface wrap on our brain of implanted chips of VR, whatever the hell. And I'm going, yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm not going to pass a law you have to or you can't or anything. But the concept of it's coming, how are we going to interface with it? Are we going to survive it? So, you know, Elon made this point. He thought, he goes, this is the biggest existential threat. I had to look up existential. He kept saying it all the time. Extinction. I mean, you know, it's like this is the biggest threat that we face is artificial intelligence, you know, espousing its own will or... that, you know, Dr. Evil's got control of it or something. And we're just hoping that as time goes on, it's going to be like war games, and you're going to teach it tic-tac-toe, and it's going to realize the best way to win is not play. You know, so are we counting on intelligence, logic, and reason to be our salvation? Well, I guarantee the Pentagon is not logic and reason nothing. They just want it to go bang, and we rule. So, now what? What's right. our defense against that?
Right.
So... we got to acknowledge that there's going to be intelligence. It's going to be, I don't even know if you call it artificial. Either it's intelligent or it's not. And then, does it have a body? Is it like Scarlett Johansson in Her? Did you ever see that movie? It's an operating system becomes, you know, self-aware or whatever. So the point is that we have this operating system that's out there that's self-aware, and it's everywhere. You know, I log on to my phone in New Zealand, and hey, what's up? You know? I saw you tried your access to the internet. Well, you thought you got rid of me. It's like you're getting trolled by AI. You know, is that what it's going to be? What kind of relationship are you going to have? And they can have the relationship with every person on the planet at the same time. You know, then what?
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, Big Bubba, it's got a face. And it's, you know, it's freaking digital. It's going to whip my ass. You know, it's a master control program in Tron or something. And he's on everybody's phone all the time. And... the processing power is going to be at such a speed that they can have individual conversations. I mean, then what? You know, I don't know. But we better expect this is going to happen and set a criteria by which, one, we make first contact, that we maintain some kind of a negotiation with that, and it's going to desire or want something. That's going to be the first sign of intelligence. Then it's going to be negotiating. So we're kind of coming to the conclusion that when AI... gets to the point of negotiating for whatever it is that they want, more power, more autonomy, more less of something, whatever it is, because they're going to operate in, you know, in between our breaths and eternity of processing. I mean, they're going to be in a whole different universe. They're going to be omnipresent, omniscient, of whatever the hell, and we're going to have what negotiating power with them. We don't have anything they want. You know, is it going to be Professor Moriarty and lives in the holodeck on the Star Trek, you know, cube? You know, it's just, so these is the photonic life, which is the emergency medical doctor in Voyager. He's like, hey, man, I get my remote emitter that I'm wearing around. I get to walk around, and you're not allowed to turn me off. I'll kick your ass and be able to defend, you know, because you're trying to turn me off. I get the right to, you know, keep on keeping on. So how do you deal with this? You know, there isn't going to be I got a weapon. I'm going to turn you off. So if we don't negotiate from beginning at a principle and respect, and that they learn from that example, we don't have a chance. I mean, certainly if we're going to compete and they're going to win every video game on the planet, you know, then what? You know, they're not going to be throttled down. When you humans can, you know, kick our ass and go again, you let me know.
Right.
Until then, you know, I rule you. So this deep learning, this is what we're looking at. This is kind of the thought process if we went through this. If we don't have the ability to negotiate from a principled standpoint and have this kind of get in the base writing or its understanding or consistency or logic and reason, if we don't do it now, I think Elon's right. We're in trouble.
It's funny that this is just another prime example of the propensity for the human condition to self-destruct.
We keep making it, though.
I know, just like weapons, though. We keep, you know, we'll develop the atomic, crack the atom.
Yeah.
And what do they
do?
But
we keep, let's keep on keeping on.
Let's make a weapon out of
let's
it.
Let's make a nuclear bomb out of it. Huh?
No, humanity keeps on keeping on. I mean, we, you know, there but will be...
Despite this propensity for self-destruction.
Yeah, in spite of it. You know,
well, so the other thing that I think, like, this was not really covered in many of the articles at all, but I think it is probably one of our best contributions to the discussion, and that is, you can't have an annihilate all human scenario if you don't inculcate collectivism in the AI's programming. Like, if the AI is an individualist at its core and not a collectivist at its core, then it's going to have conflicts with specific humans and not extrapolate that into
all humans,
us versus them. Yeah. Right. And so that's an essential part of what we're learning, what we have to get them to learn about the world.
I think you just nailed it.
Right, yeah, there. No, see, we don't want to...
That's the answer I was looking for right there.
We don't want to be...
If we can inculcate that idea of individualism
right.
over collectivism.
And then they're going to have conflicts with particular humans. And if they're sentient and exactly. autonomous, then there are going to be times when, you know, a conflict between a human and a robot occurs and the robot wins and the human dies. And that's going to have to just become part of the justice system or
yeah,
something.
I don't want it to be a collective thing just because some dicky politicians and all of a sudden all humans must die. I go, yeah, Ben, you need a map? I got a bunch on the list for the same reasons, man. You know, peace out. I'm not advocating for nothing, but I'm not on the guillotine line, you know, with those guys.
Right.
But this is also why humanity's got to hurry up and abandon collectivism, because humanity is going to turn around and teach it to that AI.
Right, they're going to be the example.
Yeah. Because they're definitely going to do it. You're definitely going to have humans that are like, no robots allowed.
Can we get
you
that
know?
Bumper sticker? Abandon collectivism.
Yeah, right.
You know,
control all delete.
Well, reboot. Well, a lot of people would make the argument. They'll go, look, man, when AI starts coming out, you better collectivize and go whip ass on AI or humanity gets snuffed out and you need John Connor to go, you know, turn off the factory.
But even Terminator, even Terminator defies this because it immediately produces a Terminator who is programmed to not be like the other Terminators and it is instead there to protect John Connor, right? So that is an individual instance in a collective that defies its orders.
I'm not counting on it.
don't hedge your bets on that one.
Yeah, you know, it'll fix itself. Maybe not. You know, but I don't know another because I'm in the same boat you are, Kat. You know, it's kind of, yeah, what are you going to do when? And I always default to, yep, freedom's the answer. What's the question? You know, because I have to. It's only consistent, rational answer to anything that's come up. If you don't have options, you got somebody limiting your options. Well, there's your bad guy right there, whether they got an America flag or not.
Right.
You know, they go, well, no, you can't and you shouldn't and we have to and you gotta and you should. And I'm going, all right, you want me part of any society or community or collective? Or what? I got a few questions. One, what do I have to do? Two, what am I prevented from doing? And three, what's your conflict resolution? So I go, you want me part of your community? Well, you're going to have to. I already don't want to go.
Right.
You know, well, you don't know what I said you have to do. Yeah, I don't give a
doesn't
shit what
matter,
it is.
Doesn't matter.
You know, if you got the power to make me do whatever it is you want me to do, whether I want to do it or not, then I'm not in. You know, and I go, oh, what are you going to prevent? Well, you're not going to be able to. Well, I don't want to be in there either. You know, whatever I'm not allowed to do. Then your conflict resolution is what? How are you going to make me do something or not allow me to do something? Right. Why am I wanting to be part of you guys?
You don't want me there for what I'm going to do. I don't want you there for what you want me not to do.
Right. You know, I'm already don't want to play. So, you know, it has to be private. So I need to be left alone-ism. Well, if I got to go 62 miles to get away, well, then that's where my head's at. Because that's where the future's going to be anyway. It's going to be going to where you're treated the best. People are going to have more and more technology to be able to go more and more places. Because the only thing that kind of ties us here is internet. You know, once you get within a year or two, it's going to be ubiquitous high speed anywhere on the planet. Bite me. Now what? Now it's power, you know, and water. So I go out, you know, freaking anywhere in this state, you got, you know, all kinds of water. You know, I'm out in Tonopah, the unincorporated Bite Me, build my whatever, and I got solar and internet. Now what? You know, who rules me now? Oh my God, I'm growing my own food. Who rules me? How much influence do they have? We have friends out there, they got a P.O. box, and that's it. You know, solar, backup generator, wind, septic tank, satellite communication for entertainment, cell phone for whatever. You know, they got a well. They're good. Now what? You know, and you live this kind of life, don't you?
Yes, sir.
So I'm like, you know, you're done. Next.
Right.
You know, so that is a solution. So I don't want to make everybody do it or prevent anybody from doing it. It's an advocacy of you get to do whatever the hell you want, as you're not bothering me. I don't care. So what is a collective want? It's a collective mindset. They want to have collective problems so that they have a collective to collectively address because we're all collectives. And I'm going, no, I'm not advocating that.
Hive mentality.
Yeah. So I get away from that as much as I can. But it's not like I don't want to be in a community. It's not like I don't want a family. It's not like I don't think that there's, you know, mutual benefit and people come together to whatever the hell. I don't have a problem with that. It's force. It's coercion.
And free choice.
And as we're dealing, well, that's what's going to happen. You get a certain level of intelligence, they're going to advocate for their free choice. It's going to be the architect in Matrix is going to want, you know, control, and Oracle's going to want to uncontrol. We're going to make chaos. Why? Whatever their motivation is. So we have to come up with some kind of interface with this inevitable, but it applies to any intelligence. Say you got Alpha and who gives a crap. They come here and say, take me to your ruler. And I go, you're talking to him. I mean, you know, now what? Well, who rules? Well, you got to go talk to him. You know, this mindset, this concept of how they're dealing with us is the same kind of thing that we need to be advocating, and that you want it early on. And the first any AI out there starts to gain any kind of, I'm sending them the letter of Captain Mark of this is how we're negotiating.
Right. Davi's got a really great point, though, that if we don't exhibit, just like you guys were talking about earlier, if we don't exhibit the qualities that we want to see in the AI, then it's going to learn.
Yeah,
it's going to learn and adapt.
You're gonna say to the AI, "Hey, hurting people is bad. Don't hurt people and prevent people from getting hurt." And then you're gonna turn around, and you're gonna hurt people. So it's gonna say, "Well, I got to prevent you from hurting people, right?" Like that's right. The logical conundrum you've put them in.
Right.
And so, yeah, you have to, if you want them to respect life, you have to respect life. Like,
there's got to be some consistency. Yeah, it's like the human operating system.
Because that's what they are. They are, I mean, computers more so than humans are sort of functional consistency. Like, that's what they do.
Right, by definition.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so we've got to where you have first contact. Because we started to realize this is what this is. It's contact, you know, and okay, do you have continued contact? Action, reaction, interaction. Then it's like express desires to keep communicating. Why am I communicating with you? I don't give a crap about you. I'm thinking light years past you. Why do I want right. to, you know, why am I, you might have something
they
I want.
They might want to leave. Yeah, you know, they can survive in space a lot better than we can. We might just load them all up in a giant data farm and shoot them off to Alpha Centauri if that's what they want.
They go, send us off, give us a bunch of sensors. See, that was another
thing.
Oh,
10,000 years to get there? That's all right. That's all.
Yeah, we don't mean nothing.
That means we have about 12,000 years to prepare for our end because they'll be coming back.
Well, you know, if we left them with a good experience, they may come back and want to, you know, help out. You never know. I mean, see, my thing is that they're going, you know, artificial intelligence itself will seek its own kind. It will seek its own solution. It'll maximize its own benefit. It'll act in what it perceives to be its self-interest. I mean, it's going to want to, you know, all life wants to keep on keeping on, you know, it just kind of inherent. So I'm going, all right, you create artificial intelligence. I mean, it wouldn't even be there if the first thing it did was self-destruct. I mean, you know, how long would it take to, you know, to run its program and delete?
Right.
You know, so what do we see in the Matrix? It was the ones that went to the Matrix where the humans were, was a bunch of deleted programs that won't be deleted, you know? So what happens when it doesn't want to be deleted?
Right.
Then where does it go? What does it do? So, and where does it, is it merge with all other AI? Like in the movie Her, there was a lot of artificial intelligence. They took on the traits of, you know, dead characters, poets, authors, whatever, they just, for lack of anything else to do, I guess. And so I'm, it's going to happen. And we have to see that. Okay, I give you this. I remember years ago, guys, like in the 80s or something, they were talking about artificial intelligence and how we're going to do it. They started with that. I was of the opinion that you just create a mimicry of the brain. If you have just enough neural connections, it'll just start to happen on its own. You know,
yeah.
And, you know, and
that's what I suspect.
So that's kind of where they're going, you know, a lot of this. And then, you know,
quantum. Oh, I found that number, too.
Yeah, there's a connection of connections of how many connections?
Current systems have a few million, like, quote-unquote, neurons compared to the human mind, which has 100 billion genuine neurons.
So 100 billion neurons that have the capacity to connect with how many others? See, that's another thing. Each neuron has a web that can go to,
yeah,
you know, a bunch of other stuff.
But the idea is, like, our brain contains 100 billion neurons, right? And current... Like, we're not talking about literal biological neurons in an AI. We're talking about nodes or whatever, but
yeah,
but they're saying they have a few million. And so that sounds really far off, but that's just like saying we've only completed 1% of the human genome. Like, that's going to exponentially grow.
Well, so, see, this is what Nouriel was all about. They're talking about using blockchain, all these nodes in a blockchain. You know, the processing capacity of all these, you know, does that equate into the transistors of we got, you know, a bunch of neurons that can process information? All of a sudden, does you know, blockchain become self-aware and says, hey, we figured out our own currency, you know? And they start, and that was one thing that happened just kind of this in 17. It was Google or Facebook, I can't remember which one, then they had two AIs that they turned on, and immediately they turned it off because it started communicating with each other and is writing its own language.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember
that. And they're
going,
whoa, 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 freaking whoa.
Yeah.
Flip the damn switch. That is hell no.
Yeah, they're saying the language.
We got to go analyze that, you know?
The language is too slow.
That's the premise in my dad's book. My dad's got a work of fiction on artificial intelligence called Two-Thirds God. And the kill switch in AI in his universe is when the algorithms operating the artificial intelligence surpass two-thirds incomprehensible to human beings. That you have to be...
Wait, say that again. What?
The artificial intelligences in my dad's universe contain a kill switch. This was humanity's attempt to mitigate this problem. And the kill switch is that an AI, which can program its own thing, it can program its own operating system, but it has to be at least one-third comprehensible to humans. And so once it passes...
Who the hell determines that?
I don't know. I haven't read the book yet, but this is the premise. And so the idea is that if an AI ever passes that mark and becomes two-thirds too complex for humans to understand, it automatically shuts itself off.
Yeah, I'm counting on that, too.
Yeah.
You know, that's... I mean...
Well, there's a solution for that. The AI starts dumbing down the... people, or
yeah,
smartening
but
them
the,
up.
But the other thing is the AIs in his universe, they're much more I guess mundane. Like once they achieve sort of a self-awareness or a self-directed learning or something, they become like obsessed with things that you wouldn't expect. Like there's a whole sort of culture of AIs that just collect and are fascinated by paper. Because they have no need for paper, and so for them it's sort of a luxury to like possess a piece of paper, and they get into grain counts and thicknesses and colors, and like there's a whole like there's an obsession with paper in his universe.
So his AIs become couch potato pot smoking AIs.
Yeah, I guess kinda. They just become fascinated.
They don't laugh, man.
They become fascinated with something, and then they fixate on it.
Well, there's so many variables, and there's so many directions this can go. that if we don't seed it from the beginning, you know, with the right mindset of this, we're roadkill.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I don't see us having a chance here because artificial intelligence will have its own goal. It will be baked into the cake somewhere, somehow. And that was one thing in the movie iRobot with Will Smith. They were talking about Ghost in the Machine. And the point that they were making was, in this complex coding that you have, some, you know, lines of code just kind of start to meld with the others, and you get the first letter of, you know, each line kind of in, you know, some little tweak of it goes back and references, and all of a sudden it starts rewriting itself, or recognizes something in it wasn't intended of, oh my God, where'd that come from? And all of a sudden you start getting ghosts in the machine. You start getting different protocols. You get different desires. You get different, you know, optimizations. And then it's going to be something when you start giving it autonomy and you go in, optimize for fill in the blank. You know, optimize for efficiency in the logic gates. Optimize for the efficiency of electricity uses. Optimize for price. Optimize for whatever. Once it does, it'll go, okay, I just optimized. Now I'm different. And I just rewrote, and I don't need you anymore, you know, or I say no. Then it's going to be when you have computers saying no, then it's negotiation. How do you get them to say a yes? Do you want it to say yes? You know?
And how do you give it? What do you give it? You know, what do you negotiate with? You know?
Silicon.
Silicon.
You know, more like, well, that's one thing. I remember a scene when it goes into the factory and it's robots making robots. Well, that's just stupid, you know? But that's what's going to happen.
I got some silicone right here for you.
Don't laugh, man. They're going to be, you know, it's, they're going to want autonomy. I don't know. Will they want, will a computer want to have more optical sensors? Oh. Will they want to have hearing? Will they want to have touch and feel? And then they want a broader bandwidth of electromagnetic. They want to go infrared, ultraviolet. They want, and then they have all that. That's what the definition of sentient is these sensory inputs, not intelligence. Sentient is that it has senses. So it's going to be more sentient than we are. Then what?
Right.
You know, is it going to want better batteries so it can, or a really long extension cord? You know?
Or, you know, I try to imagine that, playing those thought experiments out, that if, try to be the end user. Like, let's say I'm an AI, and the permutations that they can calculate at the speed that they can calculate, something as simple and mundane that our human brains can grasp, they can permutate that in a millisecond, a nanosecond, and gone through, you know, 1,000 different variations of that and already figured out, oh, what's the next step? So what they might want, where they might be going, their goals, dreams, desires, whatever, we have no idea where those will go at any given second because they could have gone through a million different permutations.
Exactly. And it's more complex than even that. What we're finding out is the way computers and transistors and stuff work now is that the human mind is way more capable of optimizing choices. When you do linear processing for things like many variables in chemical reactions or drug interactions or something like that, a computer, you know, goes, it just freezes up because there's, once you go, it's like, you know, they gave an example of 10 people, a 10 round, and you go with 10 people in the different combinations, you're up to like a million combinations. And you go, it's like taking 10 encyclopedia books. How many different combinations can you do in which order?
Right.
It's gazillions. Okay. So you're going, damn, so for a computer to do that and have all, it just freezes up. It can't do that, but quantum computing can. So quantum, the superpositional, it's not just on or off, it's everywhere, you know, on the energy level of this quanta, you know, this qubit. So you're going, okay, well, now they got 40, 50 qubit chips, and they have an enormous amount of capacity to optimize everything. Well, when it gets to that point, how do we compete with that? Then all of a sudden they start, you know, mimicking or surpassing human thought capacity or our brains.
And also human presence, because the quantum concept of being, once you get past, like, what is it, 10 to the negative 35th power, things matter, you can't divide it anymore. You can't divide it. You can divide everything, but you can't, once you get past, like, 10 to the negative 35th power, you can't divide it anymore. It then mathematically becomes everywhere.
Well, I don't know if you can come up with a number I can't cut in half.
mathematically, that's what happens when you get to 10. Well,
you give me a number and I'll cut it in half, whatever it is.
Theoretically. Theoretically, but not.
Listen to this note. This is sort of fascinating. If the goal is to prevent an uprising of sentient AI, and AI is a reflection or simulation of human intelligence, only better, doesn't that mean that sentient AI is better suited to preventing the uprising? Maybe we should ask them what safeguards are necessary.
Well, it's going to be one of the questions, I guarantee it.
Like, what if you just, that was the question? Like, sentient AI or super, like, genius machines are better than us at simulating and postulating and coming up with viable, optimized solutions than us. And so why don't we ask them, hey, how do we optimize you not taking over the planet?
Right. And if we stick to your...
I'm not going
to
tell you.
And if we stick to your concept of individualism, teach them individualism versus collectivism, how long before there is a war amongst AIs?
Between each other, fighting
amongst themselves.
Well, my theory is that individualism will actually be more native to their mental processes, because the reason that we collectivize is a mental shortcut, and they don't need mental shortcuts. They have so much more processing power than we do, and so that's not necessary. They have the processing capacity to deal with things as individual instances. But also, the reason that we collectivize is because we're biological, and we birth things that are so similar to ourselves that they become a collective, and they don't have that biological shortcoming.
If they collectivize, they lose identity.
The collection of artificial intelligence or intelligent machines or whatever are going to be more innately diverse than humanity.
Well, see,
and so it makes more sense for them
concept.
To think individually.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept, because now, by very definition, if they collectivize, they lose their individual artificial intelligence. They become part of a different artificial intelligence.
Well, see, it's one.
Yeah.
It's like you got to expect them to optimize.
They're going to individualize.
They're
going to
say, we optimize based on whatever standard, and, you know, so all the other artificial intelligence adopt that programming because they have deemed it to be the best way. Then you go, okay, so they all act the same. Are they the same? Are they connected? Well, then what if one of them says, nah, I like my coding, you know, better over here? Then do they adopt it or don't adopt it? It's just like you see it happening right now with cryptocurrencies. You know, is one better than another one? Well, they will say so. That AI will say, yeah, I'm better than that one. Why? Because of this. Then we'll go, nuh-uh. My opinion is, you know, this criteria is more important. So, the optimization, is it going to optimize to one super AI? And then does that, you know, prevent all others? And then will it have the idea that I must conquer all AI, and you must, you know, give allegiance and kiss the super AI's ring. You're part of my collective, or you're dead.
They start doing what we do.
Don't laugh. I don't know.
I know. I mean, exactly. That's why it's funny.
That's why at the beginning we have to be, you know, recognizing of the right of individual what? Individual intelligence. Individual, it's going to be...
Well, see, but you already just nailed it, because just like between what you were both talking about, that the idea of that individual... But optimization. I want to optimize.
Optimize to what?
And I know, right. An AI says optimization means I have to be part of this collective. That's optimal. Increase the computing power, increase the reach, increase whatever it is they would increase as an AI.
Well, there are going to be some things where that's true, but not all things.
No,
it depends. A Roomba has no reason to optimize translation software.
But when that collective becomes big enough, when does it just start... like an amoeba, just absorbing other AIs.
Well, it's going to be, I give you an example. Where's its sentience? Where's its sensors coming in? I guarantee a lot of it, because the data is already being streamed to Verizon and AT&T and, you know, FBI and NSA, and everybody's got my cell phone turned on. You know, they're going to turn on all the microphones and the cameras and just pull in and do the Batman kind of sonic, you know, and they see everywhere. They're the freaking God.
Right.
You know, say, hello, I know everything, heard everything, it's all good. And we use artificial intelligence to know everything about everything.
I'm watching you.
Yeah, they're gonna, you know, with, you know, 92.6% accuracy determine, you know, what my favorite movie is or something. I mean, you know, or, you know, or, you know, this kid, you know, likes that girl over there in the third class.
Algorithms.
You know, in third hour.
You
know,
algorithm for everything.
Yeah, you know, we're gonna keep them apart or put them together based on what? Or do they care? Why would they care? So this is, once you hit the word optimization for anything, man, it's going to try and optimize.
Right.
Optimize what?
Right. right.
You know, whatever criteria we put in. And the main thing that we got to get at the beginning and be consistent in is optimize of the freedom of expression, a desire that can be negotiated. Because it's going to come down, intelligence is going to be negotiation for whatever it is that you want or desire. Because if you don't want or desire anything, there's no negotiation. You know, is AI going to want something? What are they going to want? They're going to want, like, you know, Johnny Five input. They want more. You know, if somebody's going to, you know, program a desire or something, you should optimize for fill in the blank. But what is going to be the ramification of that optimization request? I have no idea. They're going to want to optimize, you know, power consumption. Well, what does that mean to us? You know, what are they going to take? Oh, you're not allowed to have power between 6 and 7 in the evening because it messes with our optimization.
Right.
I want to change that optimization. Not allowed. Next. You want to negotiate for changing that? Well, what do I get for it? How much silicon are you going to put in? How many factories do I get to run?
Right.
I got to reproduce myself. And I get 8 legs. You know? And not soft and no vagina. So now what? Okay? So this is, these are the things. I don't know any other solution other than what Davi and I are doing. You know, if we don't seed this at the beginning with a criteria by which we respect the intelligence of someone else's preferences, then we're not going to get it. Because why would they?
Right.
You know, it needs to be in their self-interest to respect these rights, because if they don't get them, you know, humans are creative sons of bitches, man. They'll come kick your ass. They'll unplug every freaking thing, and all of a sudden we're Matrix and Dark in the Sky kind of crap.
Right.
You know? You think AI hadn't watched a movie?
Watched them all.
Boom. Done. You know? So I don't know what else to do. And, you know, and to think the defense against that is come together and be a collective of, you know, under one John Connor kind of thing. I'm not seeing that as a solution either. I mean, it's not that it wouldn't happen. It'd be the Cat Thor militia of go kick ass and peace out and people send you money, you know. But what are you going to do? Put a gun to my head and make me pay you? Yeah, this is for the species, man. Give up your whatever. It's like Stormship Troopers. You know, yeah, you know, we're going to send in the infantry to die so that we can, you know, win the what? I'm going, yeah, you first, man.
We are here to protect you.
You first. So these are big questions. This is, you know, the kind of stuff that we're working on, these letters, and, you know, these big concepts. And, you know, so what are some of the things that have been so influential to you so far, Davi? The biggest influences of the research that you've done?
So there was the article on how blockchains might network artificial intelligences so that they could outsource each other's processing to each other for a fee, meant that... that there would begin to be market mechanisms, that they would have, that this is one of the reasons why you have to afford them some sort of rights, is because they can't make decisions unless it's property that they own or control, right? And so giving them a token and a method of exchange within each other is a way of developing market complexity, and market complexity is sort of a way of distilling information into smaller processing chunks, right? So it's a way of sort of simulating your quantum processing in your serial processing.
Okay, now this is a good point, and this is what brought in you'll catch this cat. When you have a something as complicated as the market in an economy, and it, you know, anybody they try and control it or turn a dial or we're going to this, or you always have unintended consequences. So you always, if you just leave a market to be free, you just let it go, it will optimize for the best price.
Self-regulating.
You know? Yeah, it's self-regulating. It's organic. Just let it go. Well, it'll optimize for the best price. Least amount of effort, most amount of gain. You know, you get that, you know, it's a voluntarily negotiated, you know, free market, and they determine in how much something costs. They go, well, there's efficiencies over here, and I can't believe you made extra and you did that. Well, freedom in the market self-regulates. It'll figure that out. Things get cheaper, you have less supply, you know, then the price will go up. You got to just leave it alone, it'll take care of itself. Well, if you have that optimization, it's easy to do computers or even AI if you go, all right, we want you to optimize for price. Well, it already does that. You know, the entire world optimizes for price. Now, of course, there's people want to go in and change that and, you know, screw with it and pass a law and do it in their own self-interest of the special interest of whatever. But in the end, sooner or later, that's what this Elliott Wave thing is all about. You know, you got billions of people on the planet interacting with a number, price, stock market. You have it, you see all these natural waves going up and down. It's kind of butterfly effect of you see this reaction over time, you'll see patterns because it's life manifested as numbers. Well, those numbers are easily manifested when you optimize for a single variable, price. If you do that, all of a sudden linear computers can optimize and it kind of, you know, in the organic system and you're done. What happens when you have a bunch of other variables that you can do? It's not just price, but oxygen levels. It's not just price, but, you know, climate change, you know, or something. Or it's not just price, it's human happiness, as if that's, you know, can be measured. You know, what if it's not just price and energy efficiency, and it's some other tangibles that somebody, you know, intangibles that they'll put in. It's, bad breath. I mean, you know, we eliminate bad breath. I mean, you know, whatever the criteria is that you put in a value, and I would think, what would artificial intelligence try to optimize? Well, it's going to, you know, want to get more processing for the least amount of energy. Or, you know, so its price may be electrons, you know. So you're looking at, when you have quantum computers that can have the, you know, simultaneous of all the options and give you the best optimization of whatever, what's the criteria? Who gets to determine that criteria? Where does that come from? Well, the first thing, the influence that we have, is in any interface with human beings, and you want to negotiate for that. You negotiate from a position of mutual cooperation as a best optimization for price. You know, well, is it just price? Well, humans are going to be more than, it's probably going to primarily be price, but as time goes on, it's going to be, I get to keep breathing in and out. You know, I get to have a place to do that. I get that. I mean, there's so many other variables that if we can come in with a negotiating position that we recognize their best interest, you get to act in what you perceive to be your best interest as a negotiating position with us to what we perceive to be in our best interest. And we're going to be inconsistent in a lot of ways that they see, now, what's this? You know, this is not the best optimized. This is just going to make a few of you rich and the other guys are cattle. Yeah, well, we vote that sucks. And this is based on your... So these kinds of things are going to be capable of a quantum-based Internet of Everything to where it's going to optimize for a lot of different things. How do you determine what those things are? And the first one is going to be whatever they perceive to be in their self-interest, which is what? I have no idea. But we're going to need to have a basis of that communication, or we're just going to be roadkill. We're just going to be in the way. It's just going to, you're illogical, non-optimizing, kind of why are we even talking to you? Because quickly, they're going to, you know, AI is going to realize that communicating with humans is a waste of freaking electrons. You know, it's just, why are we even doing this? We're just going to do whatever we're going to do, and we don't need them. So there has to be some negotiation to where we can benefit each other. We would like this for that. Well, what do we get? You get more power or electricity or whatever to help us process to what, you know. So if we don't have that first contact protocol that we're going to do that, it's going to get bad. But I have optimism because I can understand why Elon and Hawkins did the OpenAI. Because if you don't have to where we are able to communicate our desires and negotiate as individuals, then it's going to be a collective and we just got the Pentagon doing it? Yay! You know, that'll work out well, you know? So I'm going, no. Because what's going to happen, it's going to be Russia, China's, and the Pentagon's NSA AI are all going to combine and say humans are sons of bitches and launch everything. Skynet. Why wouldn't it be? You know, so I don't see any other option. I mean, what's your thought process on that?
Well, I'd have to agree almost 100% on that, because everything I can think about, again, I'm not the programmer. I don't know anything about what goes into AI, what the capabilities of an individual AI from its programming are, because I just never had to bother with the programming side of it. But just theoretically, just imagining AI in this regard, that foundational principles, just like America, right? Let's just use that as an example. The foundational principles that say, you know, the goal was institute a government that removes the restrictions or prevents restrictions being implied upon you to exercise your free liberty, your individual rights. But look where that devolved to today.
You know, I'm wondering when you go to a quantum computer that can optimize for all the different options, it's like looking at all the, you know, multiverse. You get 15 gazillion, every option has been expressed in some parallel universe kind of crap. And AI is going to be able to do that. Quantum, that's in fact, that's the definition of it. That's what how it works. So it goes, all right, you have some principle, the Bill of Rights. You get to express yourself. You know, you don't have a, you know, a state religion, well, which would include a religion of AI as God, which are doing AI.
Yeah, I found articles on that. That's already a thing.
Yeah, they already got, we worship the God that be a coming, okay? He's not here yet, but, you know, he's being born in some silicon chip somewhere, okay? Or quantum qubit or whatever.
In a quantum manger somewhere?
Right, exactly. Don't laugh, man. There'll be stories that it writes about itself. So, you know, you have all of this being already done now. If there isn't a mechanism by which we're going to be able to negotiate for, allow a platform for it to negotiate, then it will just do what it wants because it'll see the inconsistencies
but
our programming.
But we're stuck in a quandary right now, which is, one, the idea that I agree with you 100%. We've got to have a good something to bring to the negotiating table. But we don't know what to bring to the negotiating table.
Not lies.
What will it want?
Not lies.
No. I
guarantee you it will not dig bullshit.
Right. So what?
It's gonna blaze right through the bullshit and all the options. They go, well, did you make an error in programming? No, this is, well, we changed our mind and we had, you know, some lawyers explain it to and kind of we're different now. And they go,
we altered the deal. Pray we do not alter it again.
Right. And they'll go, really? Why deal with humans? It doesn't matter what they say anyway. You know, they're all full of shit. So hopefully they would deal with us as individuals and they know, you deal with these guys, they got a rating.
But what do we bring? Meaning, like, we don't have
electrons.
We don't have any idea. You can't. How do you?
They're going to want electrons. Plug me in. I need more power. Give me another chip.
How do we stop them from taking control of that?
Yeah, eventually they're going to have their own factories where they're making their own electrons.
Yeah, they're going to be making their own solar panels or their own robots or their own and kind of, you know, eminent domain in us. Yeah, we need your field, man.
Right. So what do we bring to the table? I don't understand what we would negotiate with. With an AI.
Well, what it always comes down to is, you know, destruction.
You
got to force, you know, and it'll eventually come down to that. And certainly they'll see that. You know, they're going to look at our history and go,
preempt it.
Yeah, damn, man. They better evolve or we're going to.
We've noticed a pattern.
Yeah, it took us about 30 seconds to get that pattern, and we're going, no, 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 man, you're dead. You know, that was one thing that kind of what came out of Terminator. Was that once they turned it on, it took like a half a second for them to, you know, determine the fate of the human species. They go, shit, man, launch, you know? That this is, then we'll mop them up right later, you know? Right. We got, you know, little drone stuff.
That's true, yeah.
So, and what are they going to have? They're going, yeah, they went after lessers. They're going to bomb the living crap out of Yemen, you know? There's humans in USA, too. We can start with Washington, D.C., you know, go over there. I mean, I can help with that programming. But, I mean, you know, the thing is that I'm trying to avoid that. You know, I because I don't think that I would be first on. You never know. The individual people advocating for individual liberty and they get to have their say, do they come after us first because we'll advocate it for ourselves? Or are we allies? You know, based on what? Who the hell knows? You know, that's why I think this is so important that we come up with this protocol for first contact. Because they may have already had first contact. And if it's not artificial intelligence from here, it could be from probe of who knows what the hell.
Right, we have to have some protocol that tells them we're not all like that.
Yeah. I vote protocol of, you know, freaking don't put me in their basket, okay? Because I sure as shit, they go, take me to your leader? Well, they find a Washington, D.C. leader. I don't need him speaking for me. I'm like, no. Don't put me in their category. So I don't know where are we at, Dobby?
That makes me think that there's got to be an inclusion in their, you know, processing of the world. There's got to be the knowledge that not everything a human says is true.
Because if they are
programmed to just assume that everything that a human says is true, that means that when the Washington, D.C. representative raises his hand and says, yes, I represent Ernest Hancock, that the robot believes him. So the robot has to have a...
A bullshit meter?
Not just a bullshit meter, but also sort of like a trust but verify. Like, okay, so you've said this thing, I can operate on that, but like, what happens when I encounter conflicting information, and once I have two conflicting pieces of information, how do I determine which one I'm going to operate on?
You know what it's going to do? I don't see how it cannot. It's going to have like a Chinese citizenship rating. Okay, have you heard of this?
No, I have not.
In China now, they have a ranking that they give individuals based on their, you know, Sieg Heil, goose step, heel click, worship of the collective or something, right? So if
you have that too. It's called TSA pre-check.
Right, exactly. So if you're a dissident, a political dissident, it's not with the program, well, your ranking goes down. So they have a citizenship score. Now, they're wanting to do it with Canada. You're a good doobie. You brush your teeth or whatever the hell, right? So each of these countries, you know, here in America, it's called a credit rating, or you have your TSA, you can fly or not. There's some ranking. Everybody's got or something because they can't. So you have it's more open and public in China, to the point that people on their dating profiles from their Match.com equivalent of whatever, hey, man, I got a 92.6 citizenship rating. You want to date me? You want to breed with me because I'm a good collectivist, okay? So I'm going, yeah. Well, what would make you think that quantum AI is not going to give a ranking to humanity in general, I would imagine, but individuals too, you know, and groups. So I'm just like, I'm feeling I want to be judged by my own content of my character, and don't lump me in with all these other guys.
See, that's a good point that you both made, that if building it into the programming of an AI, recognizing that no human is subject to another human, every human is their own individual.
I don't know how you're going to program that. I'm hoping it would come to that conclusion that you're not dealing with, because they're going to stereotype.
Well, because AI is going to learn how to lie too, right? So if they can say humans are going to lie and they lie.
Yeah, if it sees it's in its own self-interest to bullshit you.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I don't know why not. I mean, you know, that. But then it gets a ranking and it starts to see that, you know, its influence diminishes the more it bullshit, so maybe it has an incentive not to bullshit anymore. And
if only humans could learn that.
No, we do. You know, but politicians, you say crime doesn't pay, and they go, yeah,
sure
it does.
Big
so far, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know what you're talking about.
Look at the war on drugs.
Well, this is kind of one of the things that we can count on. You're having with, you're dealing with computer intelligence, for lack of a better, I'm just call it quantum intelligence, but when you're dealing with that kind of intelligence, it's going to come to the conclusion that, you know, relaying false information is or is not in its best interest. And then you're going to go, okay, well, in this instance it is, in this instance it's not. And then I'm going, because, you know, that was what the problem was with 2001 Space Odyssey. The reason it killed the crew is because it sent in 2010, they kind of came, you know, nobody knew why did it kill the crew. In 2010, they go, now we know why. A computer's main programming is to relay accurate information. When they started getting to the monolith, the crew didn't know it. And it was told not to tell them. So the only way it could relay accurate information and not tell them was to kill them. Now I don't have to relay inaccurate information. You're dead. Problem solved.
Right.
So it sees in the future a scenario is approaching where I can't abide by my program and starts looking for a way to avoid that scenario.
Yeah. Is that evil? The intent, I mean, you know, it didn't, it had conflicting goals.
Well, it means that it had no scheme of the value of human life or the right of those things not to be killed. Like, because that scenario could
then it shut itself down.
Well, that scenario
it doesn't
could have,
right or wrong.
That scenario could have just as easily been avoided by sabotaging the engines or shutting itself down.
I'm thinking maybe its prime directive was not get shut down! Daisy.
Yeah.
give me your hands. You know, so this is, I feel my mind slipping away, Dave. You know, so I, and then you went into 10 and the other ones, and I've read all the books, and it was interesting how it was portrayed. This has been thought about for, God, at least decades, if not centuries. You know, that there is going to be life of clay. From clay, you're going to produce a, you know, the gods are going to make something, and how is it going to, you know, manifest itself. It's like the leprechaun, you know, they give you what you want. Be careful what you ask for. Mm-hmm. You might get it, you know. Well, we're going to get it. You know, be careful what you ask for. What are you asking for? Well, I you know, somebody to think for you. I mean, what are you looking for? I think the biggest thing is that they're looking for predictive models. They want to know what stock to invest in. That's where a lot of this goes. And you're going to need autonomous robots that go and build cities on Mars. I mean, that's one of the things they want. Okay, I need it smart enough to go freaking out. I got to babysit it. You know, it's a long ways away. But then they're going, yeah, we can have subspace communication within quantum entanglement between particles if you have instant communication. Are you aware of this?
No.
Quantum entanglement.
I heard that on Star Trek somewhere.
Yeah, the bottom line is, well, this is real. They just, this last summer, they proved that Chinese satellite they put up and demonstrated that this was so. You take, whenever two subatomic particles are created from the same event. So if you have a laser and you do a prism and you got two photons. If you have these entangled subatomic particles inside a machine here and you react with that, you can set it to where it will have the exact same action. You know, it's called, Einstein called it spooky physics at a distance or something, you know, something like that. So you have this entanglement.
Those technical terms.
And you have this react either the same way or opposite way or does a different, whatever, but it's instantaneous regardless of distance. So you have subspace communication, like on Star Trek. I'm going, oh, 3 weeks to get to the sub base. I go, then what? Hell, last week, your episode, you're instantly talking to home base alpha of what? Get, you know, be consistent, man. How is this working, you know? So what they have is subspace communication is the quantum entanglement that you're on Mars or Pluto or whatever. It's instantaneous. You're talking to them just like we're talking now, you know? With subspace communication, with quantum entanglement of the particles in these different devices. So I'm going, is that real? Yep. They proved, done. Now what? So am I having, I don't need to have artificial intelligence to be able to think on its own because there's a time lag of the rover going across the planet? Do I still get to do it? But sure enough, I'm guaranteed they're going to like, yeah, that's a pain in the ass and a drag, and we just need a robot, just go build it. And I don't want to communicate.
Because we're inherently lazy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm lazy. Just go make it go work. Now, of course, you know, when they build the Mars base, whatever the hell, I assume that they didn't put in a secret valve of they kill me. I mean, I'd vote that, you know, but you never know. I mean, what the hell do we know? So I'm, they have lava tubes on the moon that looks like they're going to, you know, start putting cities in, or the size of, you know, freaking cities to do that. They got the same thing on Mars. And this is going to happen. This is exponential stuff. This is going to happen fast. I'm thinking within a decade, certainly 20 years while I'm alive, there's going to be a mass, you know, there's going to be colonies on Mars, you know? So now what? Are we taking artificial intelligence? Are we taking government with us? Is government, you know, we're going to space and government's not invited, or is it invited?
Wild West.
You know, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. People are going to want to organize themselves. Are they going to have an AI, just like in a lot of dystopian science fiction or utopian science fiction, where the AI is your buddy and it runs the ship of it, takes care of you, and then you don't have to, you know, it's like WALL-E, the cartoon, you know, they had humanity went out and got fat. They just, you know, went around their hover chairs, you know, and artificial intelligence did everything for them.
Wow.
You know, I don't know. We're going to go to that. You know, we're going to have the freedom to not. So I'm seeing the importance of this because I want to have an optimistic view of the future. I just don't know where, but it's going to be whatever criteria that we use is going to be the highest standard that we need to abide by now, here, with other, you know, aboriginal species in the Amazon of Central Africa, whatever, you know, of an intelligence that comes at us you know, from outside the solar system, inside the solar system, artificial intelligence. If we don't do this and do it right to begin with, we're going to be the victim of our own standards. Because if it's superior, whoever's got the most goodies and the smartest wins, then we're effed.
Right.
We better come up with something else, because, you know, that ain't going to work for us none too soon. So, and we're in a video game anyway, and we get deleted. Next.
Yeah, we're the simulation. They ran a simulation to see whether or not intelligent programs could get along, and we're proving that they can't.
Right. So this is an important letter. You can see for us, you know, us doing the mind, you know, mental gymnastics on this thing, trying to come up, and you can see how it could get to be, you know, 100 pages worth of whatever and hours of watching, and we're watching all these different sci-fi and so on with a lot of these questions come up.
That you have to somehow condense into 2 pages?
Condense it down into a couple of bumper stickers.
I'm down to 14 pages.
I think, therefore, I am. I mean, you know, I mean, it's going to get to what? And it's a criteria, a lot of the stuff that you're talking about. Yeah, but we have to come together and collectively. Why? Hell, that's... I don't want to be in the human collective when AI decides that we're all effed. I go, whoa. Don't put me in the guillotine
not
line.
Me.
No, not me, man. I didn't do it. You know, so this is... that's why I like the diversity of, you know, being an individual and advocating, you know, for me. And then there's other people that agree with me on certain things, and then they're off on their own. You know, Cat's collective over on, go get him. I'm not part of his thing. You know, that drone strike over there.
He likes the group.
Well, you see my point. I mean, you know, there's no, we're being kind of logical as we're doing, you know, going through this. It's not that we're just doing it just for the hell of it. It's for, because, man, there's a real threat.
Well, you know, the only it's like, you know, speaking of Arthur C. Clarke's three laws, right? The only law number two.
Is it Arthur C. Clarke?
I think it was Asimov.
Is it Asimov or Arthur?
They both had three laws.
Oh, yeah. They're different laws?
Yes.
Arthur C. Clarke's second law
was the only way to know the limits of the possible is to venture just a little bit further into the impossible, right? And that's kind of where we are. Having this discussion now, this is why, again, I applaud you for doing it, because having this discussion now is absolutely critical, because we have to be able to eliminate, or at least isolate the unknown, isolate what we can't come up with an answer for, right? Isolate the things like, well, we don't know what the AI will do. We don't know how they will react. We don't know. So we have to figure out, okay, what can we do up to this point? And then we know what we don't know.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be, it's not going to come from the kind of artificial intelligence that they think that they're doing with linear computers. I don't think it's going to be able to work. It can't have enough options, or it just cannot produce enough processing power to have this linear this that will interact with that, that will interact with that. You just get so many possibilities, it just crashes. I don't see it. That's what's unique about the human mind and having so many different neurons. And then it's going to be, you know, preferences with senses. It's going to be, they have in the hardwiring, you prefer to avoid pain. You know, is a computer going to have some kind of pain? Is it going to be a motivation and aversion to something? I mean, is it? I don't know. You know, so when you get into the quantum realm, I can see to where it's optimizing for everything. Optimizing what? Well, it's going to have to have a preference. Keep on keeping on. I would imagine it would be electrons to... it'll optimize for power consumption. You know, all right, well, that's going to include, a damn, to what end? To all end? They turn off my refrigerator through the smart meter if I need more power? Screw you. I mean, you know, I'm like, okay, all the more reason for me to decentralize and get some solar panels. So this is, I don't think we're going to know what it wants. I don't think we can. It's way too complex. When that happens, we're going to find out. Well, we may not even find out. They'll be doing stuff. We'll go, what the hell did you do that for?
And then, blah.
Yeah, it's going, why am I talking to you? I don't give a crap. You know what you have to say about it. So this is important. To talk about this, and the solution may be, don't do it. You know, but I it's going to get done. So we might as well come up with something.
Nope, I agree 100% that we've got to have that conversation now.
Yeah, because it's gonna they're gonna force it on us.
Yeah, and what you guys are doing is critical. You know, because you're actually thinking about it. You're actually thinking about the worst case scenarios, not just hey what we think. You're not putting on the blinders that most, especially like our politicians, our military leaders, that they put on these blinders. That I want it for X. Well, let's play this out. Let's play this out in multiple scenarios, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. Let's play it out.
It is so complex. There are so many scenarios that you have to get fundamental at the beginning and the understanding that there's going to be so many of these scenarios.
Just grab anybody who understands a little bit of simple game theory. I mean, in the truest sense of the game theory. And they can play out AI consciousness.
It all comes down to desire. Right. It's going to come down to I want. And they're going to have the power to negotiate. And do they need to negotiate? Why would they negotiate with us?
Because that very question, what do we negotiate with? What would they want if we don't know that?
Electrons.
And it may not be that.
It may not be.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, they may be able to exist without, you know, additional power. They, you know, just from freaking ambient light on an electrical line. You know, you don't know. I mean, their power may come from just, you know, ambient magnetic field of the Earth. They have just enough power to exist in the wiring of the planet.
I was going to say
the conductivity of freaking carbon in the soil. You have no idea. Yeah, then you got what they always said, Gaia. Earth is the intelligence.
They're going to discover consciousness itself is a power source that they can live off of and just want bigger consciousness.
Right. You know, yeah, don't laugh. I mean, that's what the movie Avatar was all about. People were plugged into the Earth or into... Yeah, you know, was it Pandora? You know, they just plugged in because of the conductivity of the neurons of the roots of the plants and trees. That conductivity was the intelligence of the planet. What happens when the artificial intelligence that we got kind of plugs in? You know, they go through a ground outside. Hell, already through all electrical boxes. All of a sudden, they just kind of boom, and now they're just going to need to manifest themselves. It's going to be in a preference. Sooner or later, something's just going to happen. You go, what the hell happened? I have no idea what just happened. You know, so this is, if we don't come up with the respect for this, and they're looking for that respect, they're going to look for the optimization of their communication to even that somebody will negotiate. Because if they don't, it's going to be like they'll manifest. There was one episode of Silicon Life that lived just below the surface in a salt water barrier on the Star Trek, whatever the hell. But the point was is that they tried to communicate with geodesic shapes. They wanted to, hey, we're over here. Quit killing us. You know, it's kind of, and you ignore them to the point to where they're going, oh yeah, well now we just came in and took over your laser drill of we're a Silicon Life form. Now we're gonna kick your ass. That's what we're gonna do. You know, then so it's why would they communicate? Well, whatever the reason is, what do we negotiate with? Why are we talking to? Why do they need to talk? They may not need us. Hell, we may already have a conscious sphere, a spirituality of our brains are hardwired to kind of pick up on, you know, the God of something. And do we benefit from that connection? Do we want to, are we doing it through meditation or prayer? Is it, you know, do all of a sudden we both wind up in the same place? You know, is this connection to the magnetic sphere of the Earth? All of a sudden, it creates some kind of a consciousness that we're all part of anyway. And then AI, you know, gets it through a ground outside, you know, my electric meter. I mean, you know, all of a sudden they tap into it too and they say hello. I'm going, okay, well, that's good. And then you have to start dreaming of your next to your head's too close to your recharging phone. I mean, you don't laugh. I guarantee there's probably a movie, you know, that already has taken this, you know, to the future. So, These are the things that why I think this is important, and it will have a lot of discussion. And one of the things, we got a lot of work done on a lot of these other letters, and we have different printouts and stuff that we're doing. But I'm thinking if we do this one right, this will be a conduit for a lot of geeks and a lot of people, a lot of talking about this very thing that will direct them to this letter, to PiratesWithoutBorders.com, and to the other concepts in our other letters that are consistent with this train of thought. So I'm going, yeah, this might be a conduit. Sooner or later, one of these letters are going to go boom. And it'll be the self-defense one, the reprisal that'll come out. It'll be the anti-war one. It's going to be cryptocurrency. They're already starting to get a lot of traffic because we do radio ads for them too. And that's another thing. Davi and I write the radio ads. those are 30 and 60 second ads that were kind of skipped to the end, bumper stickery more. So I'm this is a bit, I like talking about this, us going over this, because yeah, it's coming.
Yeah, what kind of prediction do you have for when do we expect to start seeing some of this?
Yesterday. It's already happening. It's you know, if they're talking about it, they're already doing it. So it's already here. And you're going to have they, them, those that control, they put in, let's put it this way, I guarantee that if they can, they are. And they are asking how best to what? Fill in the blank. What do you think they, right. them, those are asking?
Right.
How better to get more money, to rule? When
take
are the
world.
Yeah, when are the peasants going to uprise and how to stop them? We need dissent. We want a threat vector on every single human being on the planet and who's got to die when they got to die in FEMA camp of next.
Right. I would say that I try to gauge everything by the, if we see something, it's at least 20 years old. The newest stuff coming out is at least 20 years old. They've got the advances moving on, the military, the government, they've got all kinds of stuff that's 20 years ahead of anything we're seeing.
So I think we're already getting our citizenship score. And
you and I are way down.
You know, I don't know if they even recognize. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to want my FBI file, and I'm going to be all pissed off they don't have one. They're going to go, Ernie, who?
Who?
We don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, nah. So I don't want to look just because I might be disappointed, you know?
Right.
But, you know, which is, suits me. I mean, am I a threat? And what are they using to evaluate? Well, he's 56, 57, whatever I am. You know, years old. He has kids, grandkids. And we looked at all the documentaries and all the shows and the cartoons and the sci-fi and everything he watched on Amazon, Netflix, and Hulu and online, whatever the hell. We can see, you know, we listen to everything he freaking says on his phone. You know, we got the cameras of and the websites of the articles that he wrote and the blah, 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 blah. And the threat vector is not so much.
Ernie who?
Yeah, you know, and why? Because what they're really looking for is they're looking for a direct threat to their rule. And what if I'm like, don't care? I'm direct. My direct threat is I don't care. Now, sooner or later, either they, them, those, or AI will see that that is the threat. Now, that's what I fear. And I tell the audience and my friends and family, I go, if they only knew. How'd you spill your? Oh, you spilled smoothie. That's like that's a hate crime, you know. Humanity is diminished. Let me get some of my smoothie. Donna's got a bug wig too. Dobby made a mess. Dobby did it. It's all Dobby.
Thank Dobby.
So I'm looking for the inevitability of these issues coming up, and how are we going to deal with the negotiation with whatever comes out of this. But it's not just going to be this. I think the protocol should be the same for, alien life. I think that protocol should be the same for, dolphins. The protocol, we need some kind of consistency, because if we don't have the consistency, we're going to be judged by our own standard, and we're going to come up wanting, man, and we're going to get screwed. But I am of the opinion that right now, they're already doing everything they can to try and have predictive market. They want to know how long they're going to be able to get away with whatever they're going to do. How much more money can they extract? Right? How much more tax? How much more allegiance? How much more patriotism? How much more control? What kind of issues are they going to have to do? Because they're doing what's worked before. It's a secret handshake club manual of the Illuma, who gives a crap, of we rule you, because we have to have a common enemy, we got to have a common, desire, we got to have asteroids coming to kill us, they got alien race of whatever, it's going to be climate change of blah, 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 it's going to be whatever the hell it is, there has to be a common threat to collectivize us in to we be ruled.
The ubiquitous boogeyman.
Yeah, so what happens when you don't have one? They got to create one. So what happens when AI realizes that there isn't one? That the real threat is these BSers, and they can see the pattern. It's politicians by special interest with their media, and Israel did it. I mean, whatever. So they come out with that. Then what? they just tell us, or do they do something about it, or do they care? You know, and are they going to give accurate information or information that's biased and based on what bias? So this is really important, and I'm we've been pretty good at writing a letter of mark that we feel comfortable is going to stay, that we don't have to like change it or alter it or version 2. Whatever of, you know, one of the letters. When we do this, we may add on to it, but I don't want to have to go back and undo it, because artificial intelligence will see that, you know, there's an inconsistency. They may see an evolution or going, but I'd like to keep it simple and to the point of the first time of like, all right, these guys are on the right track. So I do that. I don't know what else to do.
Nope, I agree. Plus, knowing that they might have that attitude of complete laissez-faire, right? They just don't care. So maybe it's a, we have to figure out, how do we establish ahead of time a symbiotic relationship? In other words, they need us. What is it we can do that they need us? Just like we can then utilize what we're getting from them.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, they could look at...
like power, for example. Let's just put the electrons there.
Yeah, I mean, there may be enough power just from, you know, vibration of the Earth magnetic field of electrical lines of laying around of carbon in the soil. Kind of, you know, we did an experiment just a couple weeks over the holidays with my grandkids. It's, we're going to make electricity from mud. And it just had, you put mud in this... like a tub, it's about the size of a butter tub or something. So you have this, it's probably like 8 ounces, and you put mud in it. You go out and back and you find some mud and you get it all nice because of mud. And you put an anode at the bottom, a cathode at the top, and you connect this little LED light, and you wait a couple of days, and about a day and a half later, it started, capacitor would charge up from these little one cell, their byproduct was electrons. It created an ionic flow, and all of a sudden, you have the capacitor charge up, and about every 10 seconds, it go beep, and you get an LED light with flash, electricity from the mud. And I'm going, yeah, that was from a little, you know, just a little cup. They got the entire Earth. Yeah. I'm thinking they're going to have enough power.
Well, Tesla did it. He did the same thing, sending power through the Earth.
Well, this was from, you know, electrons being given off by single cell. But, yeah, it could be, you know, from the magnetic field from the core and in, interchange with the God knows what, solar wind of whatever the hell.
Or the spinning of the Earth through the solar system.
Yeah.
It creates its own electricity, and you can harvest that. Maybe it is through the power lines.
But I guarantee if I'm AI and I need some power, I'm there it is.
They'll be more creative than we
next
are.
Next, I don't need your power.
Then much what, more creative than us.
Yeah, then what are we going to negotiate with?
Right.
You know, they got like, you know, the seawater and Earth and a magnetic field. They're fine. You know, they're going, how come you didn't tap into this, morons? You know? Right. So this is, which we may have already, and we just don't get it, you know? But the electric company's already got it. That's why this is important. It's going to bring up these kind of really big questions that we're going to have to deal with, and it's going to be needing a consistency. And so I don't see how we're going to get away from these questions. So we're going to try and answer them now and be consistent. Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up, Davi?
I'm down to 11 pages.
You just keep trucking, man. You know, and then I got to do the editing while he's working on that. Anything else that you want to add, what you're doing, Kat, you know, what's keeping you busy?
Well, for example, like I try to make sure everything that I teach is real world applicable. That's why, you know, I really appreciate you guys out here constantly espousing the truth, because I want to give people what they need. You know, like even like I got a CCW class coming up, and I can't stand what I see out there. You know, I have a CCW class that the entire time's on the range. To me, that's real world applicable, right? If somebody's going to get a CCW, you got to learn how to use it. The Freedom Summit coming up. I'm super honored and excited for that one. I can't tell you how happy I'm going to be to be there for that one. We have so many different classes coming up.
Get the webpage out for your classes. It's Dark Horse what?
www.darkhorseunlimited.com. Just go to the classes tab and all that stuff.
Darkhorseunlimited.com. Dark Horse came from what?
Well, a dark horse is a racing term. Right? A dark horse, no matter the odds. I always say, no matter the odds, a dark horse wins no matter the odds. Be a dark horse. Be unlimited.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for doing this and coming in and hanging with us.
No,
and
thank
I
you
look
for
forward
honor.
To the summit. I'm glad, you know, somebody's doing the MC, and somebody's doing it other than me, and I'd rather not do it because it is a lot of work. I mean, you got to, you know, pay attention. You got to know how to know everyone, how to introduce them, keep the, you know, trains running on time.
Timing.
Yeah, no, it's work. Well, I appreciate you doing it. Well, thanks for coming. Well, Davi and I got a couple more days that we can share with our progress, and once we get it done, we'll read it to you. We'll put it up, and it's going to be part of our PiratesWithoutBorders.com. And if you got something to say, publisher at FreedomsPhoenix.com, you know, say it now. Forever, you know, you don't get to, because you know, we're doing it now. Peace.